Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I've got to confess, I'm a bit depressed. I know, I'm supposed to be high energy and all of that, but I'm a bit depressed. And I'll get into why later as the show unfolds. But one of the reasons is the relentless assault on the police. It's got me depressed. I've update on a story from a couple of weeks ago from the War File. A Las Vegas police officer, Shay Michelonis, who was shot in the head at a George Floyd protest. Protest, it was. I think once a cop is shot in the head, I think we've crossed a certain Rubicon as far as the vernacular for describing. Anyway, this is the One American News Network. Calls it a protest where the cop was. Anyway, Officer Michelonis is now paralyzed from the neck down, and he will likely be on a ventilator for the rest of his life. He can't breathe on his own. 20-year-old Edgar Samaniego is the killer. They have him on video, walking up, pulling out a gun, and shooting Officer Michelonis in the head. The police report noted that the suspect was not participating in the protest. I think that may have been an initial... anyway, I'm sure that's been updated as he... Seems like he was participating to... Well, maybe not in the protest, actually. Very sad, very sad. It's very sad to see the restraint of authority being thrown off en masse across the nation by young people who hate their parents with cause, by the way. Young people who hate their parents with cause because they can't really lash out at their parents because they probably still need them to send them money. So they lash out at the police. Anyway, I've got another story about the police. It's from the Domestic Tranquility File. A mother called the San Diego Sheriff's Department around 4:30 in the morning last Saturday morning to report that her daughter's father was suicidal and that he'd threatened to drive off the Coronado Bay Bridge. So the police encouraged her to get him back on the phone, and they tracked him down via his mobile phone. They tracked him to the Point Loma area. A police lieutenant then witnessed a vehicle matching the description drive over Sunset Cliffs at an accelerated speed. So this suicidal father, with his two daughters in his lap, twin two-year-old girls, drove his car off the cliff into the ocean. Because he was suicidal, there was a domestic situation between him and his wife, apparently. Anyway, a cop on the scene, a canine officer, John Weiss, he remembered that he had a 100-foot dog leash in the back of his patrol car. So he removed his gun belt, tied the tether around his waist, and by then four or five other cops had shown up. He threw the end of the leash to them, and he jumped over the edge of the cliff and rappelled down and saved the two girls and the suicidal father. The other cops lowered him down about 30 feet down the side of the cliff, and he successfully towed all three to the shore. That's the authority that the rabble in the streets are challenging and throwing off right now are men who do things like this. And no, I'm not going to mention the fact that there are always a few bad cops. No, I don't have to mention that. I'm not going to bow and scrape to these rioters. Speaking of rioters, over in Atlanta, Several police officers, according to Breitbart, several police officers have walked off the job hours after charges were filed against Garrett Rolfe, the officer who shot and killed a violent criminal who had attacked him and punched him and taken one of his weapons. Garrett Rolfe was fired, as was Devin Brosnan, after they justifiably killed Rayshard Brooks. Anyway, cops around the country are walking out, calling in sick. And in Atlanta, cops are refusing to answer calls from precincts 3, 5, and 6. Why? Because they're probably concerned they'll be shot or shot at by the citizens that they're trying to protect. It's really, really disturbing. It's really disturbing what's being allowed to happen. And I don't even know that it's being allowed to happen. It's almost as if... It's as if the forces of darkness sense weakness and they're filling the void with malevolent evil. You've probably heard the old adage that all it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. Why? There's a reason it's an old adage. We're seeing it play out right before our very eyes. It's as if all of the men on the planet sensed danger, and collectively everyone flinched at the same time. And once malevolent evil saw that big flinch, malevolent evil put its boots on and got on the move. And there is a malevolent evil scourge that's happening. But not to be out eviled, Neil Gorsuch, or I believe he pronounces his name Gorsuch. Before we all mangled it, it was Neil Gorsuch. Anyway, Neil Gorsuch has written an opinion. He has an opinion, yeah, and he wrote it down in the case of Bostock versus Clayton County. And he basically, Neil Gorsuch has taken it upon himself to redefine sex. Sex is now no longer just a biological reality. Sex is now, well, it's open to interpretation. Anyway, Gorsuch wrote the case, wrote the opinion, and keep in mind, Gorsuch was the same judge who, as a Tenth Circuit judge, wrote a concurring opinion in the Hobby Lobby case that allowed private companies to exert their religious freedom. He said they didn't have to provide abortion pills to their employees, you'll remember. And so everyone assumed he was a conservative. But had you read the actual opinion, you would have realized this was not based on anything approaching conservatism, just legal, I don't even know what to call it. Legalism, I guess. Anyway, now, Gorsuch, all right. Now Gorsuch is telling the homosexuals to advocate their positions by asserting their rights, not by targeting the constitutionally protected rights of other people, the aforementioned religious freedom. You know, the freedom to exercise your religion. So Gorsuch, in his opinion, says that homos have rights and the religious people have rights, and they both need to learn to coexist. The author of the Breitbart article says, politically, Gorsuch is telling America that we are big enough and ought to be tolerant enough to live with both sides, with both ideas at once. The one idea that says that homosexuality and sexual perversion in general is anathema, and the other side that says it's their identity. The author at Breitbart seems to think that we can all just coexist. And Neil Gorsuch thinks that we can all just coexist. They're both incorrect. We cannot coexist. One or the other of us will be destroyed. And that's just a fact of life. So anyway, the careening of civilization into an uncivilized state via immorality continues, despite the fact that the entire world is collapsing around our eye, before our eyes. Neil Gorsuch is hell-bent on hell, I guess. Yeah. And by the way, the grand old party, the Republican Party, at least in the Senate, has no problem with Neil Gorsuch's opinion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. CNN reports that Republican senators were mostly upbeat about the Supreme Court decision to ban discrimination against homos and other perverts. John Cornyn, okay. John Thune, good to go. Rob Portman, no prob. Lindsey Graham, he's okay with it. Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney says he wishes that the legislature had given the right to, the rights of homos to them, back to them, or whatever. He wishes they had created the homos' rights instead of the court. So Mitt Romney's the only one uncomfortable, and he's uncomfortable for the wrong reason. John Barrasso of Wyoming says, well, I haven't seen it yet. I'm not sure. Uh-huh. Todd Young, Republican Senator, Indiana, says, I haven't read the opinion yet. Okay, but we just told you what it was. They just want to avoid it. Right? This is the ultimate Republican, slope-shouldered Republican. Senator Deb Fischer of Nebraska says she's fine. Fine with the decision and fine with Gorsuch. Good to go. So the Senate continues to deteriorate. And while the Republican senators were lining up behind Neil Gorsuch and his opinion that homosexuals and religious conservatives can live together in peace and harmony, while all that was going on, the Senate did take time in response to Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots, the Senate Republicans have unveiled their Justice Act. That's in quotation marks, which is, it should be, Justice Act. Fox News reports that the Republican Justice Act is going to hold officers accountable, implement a use of force database, put restrictions on chokeholds, and a new commission to study law enforcement and race. That will no doubt be chaired and led by relatively dim-witted relatives of the senators and possibly donors and their dim-witted family members. So the Senate Republicans bowed to the homosexualist, Neil Gorsuch, and bowed to the rioters, Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Tim Scott, a colored GOP senator. Am I allowed to say that? Am I allowed to notice that Tim Scott is a black guy? Oh, well, the reason Tim Scott made the presentation here, the reason he was behind the lectern is because he's a black guy. So the Republicans trotted out their token Negro, colored GOP senator, Tim Scott, to announce the big flinch before Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Scott framed the legislation as a bridge between law enforcement and communities of color. Yeah. Okay. Because then they can put Tim back in his box and they can take him out for the next time they need a toy. While the Republicans bowed and flinched before Black Lives Matter and Antifa rioters, President Trump did the same, issuing an executive order targeting the police. Still waiting for Donald Trump to name Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. I'm sure that's in the offing, right? That's got to be right around the corner as our brave leader. Speaking of relatively dim-witted people, Donald Trump, a relatively dim-witted, vulgar celebrity, is now at the helm. And all of you, by the way, who call yourselves conservatives, who insisted we had to vote for Donald Trump in order to save America, remember that? I remember that. I remember all of you people telling me that. Hillary Clinton, if we elect Hillary Clinton, it'll be the end of America. And here we are, almost 4 years later, with Donald Trump at the helm, and we are standing athwart the end of America. Doug McBurney, thank you for sticking with us. I appreciate that, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. Oh, yeah. All right, so, you know what? I feel like I am in an experiment. I'm being experimented upon, and the experiment was designed to empower the stupid and to drive the thoughtful insane. So there are a lot of people out there, I realize now, who are just mindlessly falling through time and space, to borrow a phrase from another host. Just mindlessly falling through time and space, concerned only with their own appetites and what's right in front of their face. This is the vast majority of people, we now realize. And then there's a small percentage of people who think about things, and to whom facts are of concern, and common sense and reality actually influence their behavior. So I fall in the latter group. I cannot mindlessly fall through time and space. I can't do it. And so if you're a person who cannot just turn it off and mindlessly fall forward through time, that you're going to go insane. This is all going to drive you insane. I'm in a restaurant. We've been trying to go to restaurants just, I don't know why, just because we've never been big restaurant people, but we feel for the restaurant industry and we want to help. Go to a restaurant. We selected the outdoor seating because you're allowed to behave more normally outside. And I look through the door, and sitting at a table is a couple. They're reading the menus. Now, we all know the rules, right? We all know the mindless rules. You have to wear your mask all the way until you sit down at the table. And then magically, you're protected from the coronavirus and you can take your mask off. And you can eat. Those are the rules. And for the mindless, those rules are fine. They're just happy to be stuffing something in their face. But for thinking people, it'll drive you insane. Because don't you understand, sir, that the taking off of the mask means that you've negated the purpose of me wearing the mask to the table. Do you understand that? I try to ask people. I don't think they understand. They're just like, well, it's not up to me. I'm not asking if it's up to you. I'm asking you, do you understand that what you're doing is dumb? I just want you to know that so that you can think. No, they don't think. So I'm looking at this couple who they've already sat down at the magic chairs that ward off the virus.
Magic chair.
They're at the magic chairs. They're allowed to take their masks off, but they kept their masks on. The whole time I'm eating dinner, they're reading their menus with their masks on, indicating to me that they are genuinely still terrified that they could catch this coronavirus. it's just depressing. It's really depressing. So yeah, I'm depressed. All right. No, they never took the masks off. I don't know if they took the masks off to eat because we had to leave by then because the restaurant has a certain capacity. People are standing outside. The restaurant is 70% empty, but people have to wait outside for other people to leave so that the restaurant can get on with going out of business, operating at 30% or whatever they're allowed to operate. Just so sad to watch. So we need some good news because it's depressing. Yeah, I know. Believe me, I thought about the fact that that couple, they're actually observing if you were going to wear the mask, even if you go to a restaurant, even if you want to eat, the fact is you shouldn't take the mask off. Maybe they're the thinking people. Maybe they figured out a way to, maybe they weren't even there to eat. They just wanted to get out of the house. They just kept the mask on. So the mask, I'll get back to the mask, all right? Because I know I'm probably offending a large segment of my audience because they're mask wearers. And because there's a new poll, 80% of people have a positive view of people who wear masks. I'll get to that later. I want to get to some good news. And this is good news, but it's based on terrible news. There's no straight up good news anymore. From the Justice File, the Attorney General has ordered the execution of 4 federal inmates convicted of murdering and, in 2 cases, raping children. Daniel Lee Lewis murdered a family of 3. He's been on death row since 1999. He is now scheduled to be executed on July 13th. What are the odds that that will happen? Less than 50%. But a date has been set. Wesley Ira Perkey raped and murdered a 16-year-old girl and murdered an 80-year-old woman in 1998. He will allegedly be put to death on July 15th. Again, less than a 50-50 chance, but at least the Attorney General has sent a signal that it's quite possible the federal government may be prepared to resume the execution of particularly horrible murderers. Maybe. Appeals are ongoing. Dustin Lee Honkin, convicted in 2004, shot and killed 5 people, including a mother and her 10 and 6-year-old daughters. His execution is set for July 17th. Finally, we have Keith Dwayne Nelson, convicted in 2002. He kidnapped, raped, and strangled 10-year-old Pamela Butler. His death is set for August 28th, 50-50 shot. The killers here gave no quarter to their victims, yet most of them have been on death row for 20-plus years, educated and medicated and just disgusting. Anyway, hopefully the executions happen. I sincerely doubt they will, but hopefully they will. If there are any police left, all the police may have resigned by July 13th. And now, so we return now to the Neil Gorsuch decision. Well, not really. This is just collateral. From the Queering of America file, thousands of people crowded the streets of New York and Los Angeles last Sunday on behalf of black transgendered people. That's right. There were nationwide demonstrations affiliated with the Black Lives Matter movement. So, by the way, they were not marching on behalf of black transgendered people. That was just what they're really marching on behalf of is the communist takedown of America, which is happening right before our eyes. The communists are actually taking over. And the thoughtful amongst us who refuse to bow are the distinct minority. The support for the communists, and you can cloak it in whatever you want. You can cloak it in melanin, or you can cloak it in transgenderism. You can cloak it in whatever you want. The Black Lives Matter is a front group for communist agitators. They always have been. In fact, there's an interview online with one of their founders who says that they're Marxists. They're trained organizers, and they're Marxists. So this is no secret. I don't believe in a secret society, a secret cabal trying to take down America. I believe in the leftists and what they've preached for the last 100 years, and they're just executing it now because of the aforementioned big flinch. Everybody flinched at once, including Donald Trump. He was the guy who was going to save us, but he flinched too. And when malevolent evil senses weakness, malevolent evil puts its boots on, and malevolent evil is on the march, and it is Black Lives Matter. It is Antifa. It is the vast majority of the Democrat Party and a significant plurality of the Republican Party. Our communists, hell-bent on taking down the free market and enslaving us. And it's happening. Do I have any more from this story about the alleged trans march? Attendees march that were led by the event organizers, that's the communists, and black transgender women, which that's actually men, just so you know. The annual Pride Parade, by the way, out in Los Angeles and New York, was canceled due to COVID-19. But those concerns have been set aside in favor of the communists marching with the transgendered and the other freaks. That's right, the annual LGBTQ celebration was reorganized. Demonstrations and riots erupted across the nation after the killing of career criminal George Floyd. Apparently at the Black Lives Matter march, there was very little concern for social distancing. According to reporters on the scene, the homos and the trannies were rubbing all up against the queers and the communists, and it was just a free-for-all out there. By the way, we're now a month out from the riots and the thousands in the streets, and maybe even the stupid could start to realize that the virus isn't that bad. If you're under 70, I forget the exact date. The exact data point I saw this morning. Here it is. A new study from Stanford says the median death rate for those under 70 is 0.04%. So, yeah, it's a nasty bug, but your chances of getting it are pretty high, and your chances of dying from it are virtually nil. So get over it. No, we're not going to get over it. We're not going to walk this one back. Nope, this is no longer a legitimate fear of a virus. Is there a such thing as legitimate fear of a virus? I suppose there is. I don't know. I'm not rationally able to relate to that. Because, I mean, there are some things you just can't control, like microbes that could enter your body. I mean, you guys, you can put on your masks all you want. You can't really control airborne microbes from invading your eyes and your lips and your nose and your mouth and breaks in your skin. So don't go around worrying about it, or you'll just flinch at everything. And then while you're in flinch mode, somebody else is going to steal your TV. So just cut it out. Yeah, new study from Stanford. If you're under 70, the median death rate of 0.04%. At worst, it's 0.24. At worst, worst case scenario, that's if all the bodies they're counting are real, which I sincerely doubt. I think I've already predicted that when the dust settles and historians are able to actually review what happened, the death rates will have been exaggerated by 20 to 50%, depending on where you are. Close to 50% in New York City, closer to 20% out in rural places where people aren't quite as insane. Let's see. What was I going to do here? I'm sorry. All right. So let's go now, since we're talking about Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter will now require a diversity and inclusion merit badge to become an Eagle Scout. No, did I read that wrong? I'm sorry. It's not BLM will require the new diversity and inclusion merit badge. It's BSA, the Boy Scouts of America. But I didn't misread it, actually. I scratched out BSA and I wrote in Black Lives Matter. Because you know who's requiring the Boy Scouts of America to have a new diversity and inclusion merit badge? It's not the Boy Scouts of America. It's their new masters. Black Lives Matter. Which are communists who are taking down America. Yes, yes. The Boy Scouts will require Scouts to earn a diversity and inclusion badge. The BSA Council said in a letter, because they were too embarrassed to get up and actually count. They thought if they made a live appearance, they would have to shine someone's shoes while they knelt. And so to avoid that, they just released a letter as their form of bowing and kowtowing and kneeling. They said in a letter, there's no place for racism. Oh, and this is not a political issue. It's a human rights issue and one we all have a duty to address. Oh, you're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition? But since you're handing America over to the communists, we're not going to pick on you for grammar. No, we will. Continue to pick on you. It's the broken windows thing, you know, with the, if the government allows windows to be broken, eventually they'll allow the entire civilization to be ripped down into it and burned. But don't worry about America, folks. The Boy Scouts, with all the homos leading it now, all the perverts and the deviants who've taken the Boy Scouts, they say they're going to ensure diversity and inclusion are ingrained at every level into all the boys and even the girls. And even the girls who say they're boys, and especially for the boys who say they're girls. She's got the you, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, boys. As I said, this is a time when thoughtful people could be driven insane. So I go out in public, and now that the states are issuing these mandatory mask orders, so it's clear to me that the wearing of the mask is now a political statement. It really has nothing to do with the coronavirus because we already know that an airborne respiratory virus can't be, certainly by a dirty face cloth, that's not going to help. A surgical mask, not going to help. Sorry. But that's not what the governors and the mayor, they say it's science. It's all science as well. Got to wear your mask. Where do I have the story here? Hold on. I didn't mean to get into the mask thing already, but it's on my mind because when I go into public and I see people mindlessly wearing these masks, it makes me crazy because I know that it's political and I know they're giving me stink eye because they think I'm a bad person because I won't wear a mask unless I'm forced to. And in fact, I'm about ready the next time I'm in a public place. Well, even private property, it's quite possible the next person who asks me to wear a mask, I'm going to tell them, okay, if you think you can put one on me, put one on me. And I'm going to get in a fist fight. All right, no, I just vented that so I wouldn't actually do it. See, that's what this show is about. Venting things so that I don't end up beating on someone. Because once you go insane, you could physically attack people because you lose your mind. At least I do. All right, from the widespread cowardice file, 80% of Americans polled have a favorable view of people who wear masks. That's right, it was a Fox News poll conducted June 13th through the 16th, and the people conducting the poll were wearing masks. So 80% of people think that, all right. So did I tell you the vast majority of people are stupid? This is evidence right here, 80% of people. Are complete and utter morons. The Sacramento County Sheriff's Office, meantime, says they will not enforce Gavin Newsom's order requiring residents to wear face coverings in public. That's right. Additionally, the Placer County Sheriff's Office in California said they will not uphold the order either.
Now, there are five counties.
There's five counties now. Mm-hmm. Five California counties have rebelled against the cult of the mask, led by Gavin Newsom and other Scientologists, I think. As of Thursday, Californians are required to wear a mask while in line or inside public spaces, at the workplace, and when waiting for or riding public transportation. Well, fortunately, no one in California waits for or rides public transportation. So that's not a big issue. Governor Newsom said in his statement, science shows that face coverings and masks work. Really, Gavin? Could you give us one bit of science? Because if you read the OSHA manuals that go back 30 years, they say they don't help. In fact, all of the science that ever discussed this, which is very little, find that masks are really only effective for hospital workers who are in close quarters with people who are either sick or vulnerable, and they're really not very good for respiratory viruses that are airborne. In fact, they're no protection at all. But that doesn't matter, because now over at, let's see, where was this? There's a new study that was just churned out at Texas A&M University by some Chinese professors that says, no, masks help. Masks are good. In fact, I'll try to link this on the blog, because you got to read what these, and it's the professors or the authors of the study are Chinese. There's some of these Chinese infiltrators that are taking down America along with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, the Chinese that infiltrated our universities over the last 30 years. So now these Chinese professors churn out a quick study at Texas A&M that says, oh no, mask good. And they did it all through projections and modeling. They didn't actually do a study where they tried to put the coronavirus through a mask, because if they had they done that, it would have proven that the coronavirus goes through a mask. Goes through your dirty bandana. It goes through your three-layer surgical mask. Anyway, but the mask is no longer scientific. No, none of that matters. It's political. Because Donald Trump won't wear a mask, that's it. Mask on. And when medicine becomes political, that's very dangerous. In fact, it's Orwellian. This is an Orwellian event that we're living through. We are living in a George Orwell novel. That's what's happening. And that's why I'm going crazy. I'm the guy who can't fall mindlessly through time and space. And I'm trying to pull others over with me to stop, but they won't stop. Meanwhile, from the mob rule file, exactly 123 years to the day that it was dedicated, the Shaw Memorial, a monument honoring the first all-volunteer black regiment of the Union Army in the Civil War, was defaced by rioters from Black Lives Matter. That's right. It was a monument to the first volunteer black regiment in the Union Army that freed the slaves. The monument was erected on Boston Commons to honor the 54th Massachusetts Regiment of Colonel Robert Gould Shaw, who bravely attacked Confederate forces at Fort Wagner. One of the soldiers, Sergeant William Harvey Kearney, was the first black American to win the Congressional Medal of Honor for combat action. The monument, honoring Kearney and the 270 men who lost their lives in the battle, is now covered with profane graffiti, including the words Black Lives Matter and other things that I can't read because I don't. So also destroyed this past week, a statue honoring Ulysses S. Grant, who led the Union Army that actually freed the slaves, and Francis Scott Key, who wrote the national anthem. Anyway, the rioters don't really know what they're destroying. They don't even want to just destroy the white stuff. They want to burn it all down. And what really annoyed me, one thing that really annoyed me this week was Trump at his rally. He implied that it might be fun just to sit back and watch the communist anarchists who've conquered a few blocks of downtown Seattle. Trump thinks it might be funny to just sit back and watch. This is the leader of the free world. Basically looking at anarchists and a place where already one person that we know of has been murdered. And he thinks, let's just sit back and watch it, because why? It helps him politically. This is disgusting and shocking. Donald Trump should be preparing federal troops. He should arrest the governor of Washington. He should arrest the mayor of Seattle. They should be in Leavenworth awaiting trial while he takes back the streets of Seattle. But no, he's going to sit back and watch. It might be fun, he says. By the way, Donald Trump's half-full stadium, or whatever it was, I forget. I think they said only 6,000 people showed up, and they were expecting, I think, 1 million. Yeah, okay, I'm aware of all the TikTok and all the shenanigans. But Donald Trump's half-full stadium cannot be overlooked as significant, because it is, I believe, an accurate barometer of fear. The level of flinch that still permeates even people who think they're conservative is scary, folks. People are still flinching to the point where they won't even go to a rally. And it's a dual fear, I think. People are still afraid of the coronavirus because I don't know why. And they're afraid of Antifa and rioters and Black Lives Matter throwing bricks at their heads. And so when you've got a significant portion of the allegedly conservative population afraid to leave their house, well, I'm telling you, folks, malevolent evil has its boots on. He has his boots on, and he is on the march because he senses the fear. He saw the flinch. He senses the fear, and he's moving. Who is he? Well, he's George Soros and a whole bunch of other people, a whole bunch of other like-minded, godless communists who've wanted to take down this country for my entire adult life. And they're doing it. And it's so sad to watch. Defacing the monuments. Donald Trump thinks it's funny. Thinks it's funny that there's anarchy and murder in downtown Seattle. That's why everybody at the rally yucked it up about it, huh? That takes us now to reason number 1149, to get or keep your kids out of the government schools. One of the suspects involved in vandalizing a Christopher Columbus statue at the Pawtucket Public School. It was a teacher at the Pawtucket Public School. I don't know where the Christopher Columbus statue was. I'm not sure where Pawtucket is. Something tells me it's east of the Mississippi River. But one of the vandals who vandalized the Christopher Columbus statue is a teacher at Pawtucket Public Schools. Derek Garforth, 34-year-old teacher, was charged with destruction of a grave or monument, which is a felony. Anyway, just reason number 1149, as if you needed another, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Their teacher might be a 34-year-old communist who hates Christopher Columbus? What are the odds he doesn't even know who Christopher Columbus is? He's a public school teacher. All he knows is it's a statue that was erected by someone who reminds him of his father, who he hates, with cause. Yeah, I can assure you that Derek Garforth, 34-year-old public school teacher who defaced the Christopher Columbus statue, hates his father. More than likely with just cause. And that's what we're witnessing is hordes of young people who hate their parents lashing out against authority. And if an adult doesn't stand up and give these kids a good whipping, I'm afraid that they might actually drive the country into anarchy and take over. It's the Weekly Review. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. And I'm feeling better, I guess, about the whole end of the country and all that. But maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's not as bad as I thought. From the Justice File, Mark Jackson, 22, faces second-degree murder, robbery, burglary charges, along with three counts of armed criminal action. He's the second person arrested in the murder of St. Louis, retired St. Louis police officer Captain David Dorn. Stephen Cannon, 24, the suspected shooter, has been charged with first-degree murder. 77-year-old David Dorn was black. He was slain June 2nd outside of Lee's Pawn and Jewelry during a looting episode in the St. Louis area. That night in St. Louis, four police officers were shot. Officers were also pelted with rocks and fireworks. And dozens of businesses were burglarized and damaged, including a convenience store that burned to the ground. Okay. So now two in custody. I heard rumors that a third suspect had been arrested. I can't confirm, but hopefully at some point in the not-too-distant future, a judge will determine that Captain David Dorn's life mattered and that his killers will be put to death. I don't hold out a lot of hope for that. Meanwhile, you'll remember that two rioters were reported missing, and it was suspected that possibly white supremacists or skinheads had kidnapped the Black Lives Matter protesters down there in Florida. You remember they were missing. Well, now the bodies of Oluwatoyin Salau and Victoria Sims have been found. Their bodies were found, they were found dead by police. Salau and Sims met after a recent Black Lives Matter protest. Hence all the conspiratorial theories about the skinheads and the white supremacists who had perhaps... Yes, because Oluwatoyin Salau spoke at the protests and carried signs and was prominently featured on TV. So naturally, the white supremacists who run America probably kidnapped. Turns out they were murdered by another godless heathen. I don't want to read. Anyway, it was not skinheads who killed the two Black Lives Matter protesters. It was a black man who apparently was also a rapist and a murderer. Aaron Glee was his name. It's not a white supremacist. So we've got that. And then over in the widespread tyranny file, Oxford, Massachusetts, a gym there welcomed its members back in defiance of the state's four-phase reopening plan. And so the city cut off electricity and water to the gym. A judge granted the town the ability to shut the gym down by all means necessary, I suppose. So the town changed the locks, shut off the water, shut off the electricity. Dave Blondin, the gym's owner, has racked up thousands of dollars in fines and has said he's willing to go to jail if necessary in order to keep his gym open. Here's a guy who's not capable of just falling mindlessly through time and space. He stops and he thinks about things. I'm sure that Dave Blondin realizes that we've gone from we need to flatten the curve to now we need to stop the spread. And he knows that stopping the spread of a respiratory virus is insane. It's not possible. You can't contact trace it. You can't mask it. You can't stop it. We've all got to live with the idea that we're going to get this thing, and some of us are going to get sick, and some of us are going to die. Stop. Stop thinking. It hurts. It'll make you crazy. It'll make you crazy. So the communists who've wanted to take down America for my entire adult life, and I think my mom and dad's entire adult life, and their mom and dad's entire adult life. They've basically found the vehicle to throttle the economy back and drive small business out of business. And I think I'm repeating myself. And it'll make a thinking person go insane or want to pick up a rifle and join a militia, for crying out loud. That's how bad. Meanwhile, in the Kowtow file, PepsiCo is going to change the name and brand image of its Aunt Jemima pancake mix and syrup. They say that the mascot is racist. It's a friendly-looking black lady who makes really good pancakes, and of course that's offensive. They say the 130-year-old brand features a colored woman. They say African-American, but I prefer colored. The colored woman named after a character from the 19th century minstrel show. That, you know what the minstrel shows were? That's where black folks would go around, and they were so good at performing that white people would pay to watch them. And they made their livings entertaining crowds, which of course is offensive and racist now. Black people don't do that anymore, right? They don't entertain white people and demand large sums of money. Oh, they still do that? That's racist. Let's see. Reuters says that the offensive caricature is rooted in a stereotype of a friendly black woman working as a servant or a nanny for a white family. And so what's offensive about that? That a white family would hire a black person to help around the house, help with the kids? That's now racist? Well, it gets better, folks. Mars is evaluating possible changes to its Uncle Ben's brand. Oh, this story was from early in the week. Mars has, they have banished Uncle Ben. You're not going to be able to mention the ethnicity of another ethnic group ever again. Eskimo pie can't know. That's offensive. Mr. Ben, nope, that featured a black fella right there on the box. You can't do that. All of these brands are now being called out on social media, according to Roy, which social media apparently has the power to conquer the nation and change the behavior of the entire population of the world, apparently. A TikTok video. TikTok, by the way, is a Chinese surveillance and propaganda tool, as we learned from the Trump rally, right? A TikTok video entitled How to Make a Non-Racist Breakfast showed a woman pouring the Aunt Jemima pancake mix down the sink. It got 100,000 views on Instagram, and based on 100,000 anonymous who knows who, PepsiCo, one of the largest corporations in the world, is flushing Aunt Jemima down the toilet. Anyway, it's astonishing how fast and how complete the collapse of a nation led by flinching, cowardly, extraordinarily selfish wussies. It's amazing how fast it's being taken from us. It's shocking to watch. Meanwhile, a trust fund baby over at Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy, trust fund son of the hardworking founder, S. Truett Cathy, groveled at a roundtable discussion with Christian rapper Lecrae. Are you familiar with Lecrae's body of work? He asked. It's extremely attractive. Audio engineer. Just the word Christian rapper makes me cringe. So I'm not familiar with Lecrae, but apparently trust fund baby Dan Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, said right in front of God and everybody that my plea would be for the white people rather than to point fingers at the riots and stuff. Instead of pointing fingers at the criminal effort, see the frustration and exasperation and the sense of hopelessness on some of those activists within the African-American community. He opined his sadness over the apathy and indifference of white people. Speaking of Atlanta and the protesters who burned down the Wendy's there, Cathy said whites need a period of contrition, not just criticizing people that are burning down that restaurant. We as Caucasians, we're shameful, he said. And then apparently he shined the shoes of the black guy. Apparently. Okay. That he's one of the leading, flinching, groveling, extraordinarily selfish wussies who are allowing the communists to take down America, and they will burn his stores to the ground, and they will destroy his business. But that takes us to the seldom seen courage file, where the CEO of the Babylon Bee, well, he's under fire by what this website, pulpitandpen.org, they call, he said, they say the Babylon Bee is under fire by prominent-ish evangelicals. That's right. The prominent-ish evangelicals, these are extraordinarily selfish, wussified evangelical leaders. They say that the Chick-fil-A, there is a post on the Babylon Bee titled Chick-fil-A, now open on Sunday, but only for black people.
Awesome.
That was the satirical headline. Satire not being allowed anymore, not being recognized anymore. It's not that satire is not allowed. It's that people aren't thinking enough to actually recognize satire. Nope, all the evangelical wussies out there said that that this headline was obviously racist because, well, it had the term black people in it. And anytime a white person uses the term black people, that's racist. But in reality, just in case I have to explain it to you people, the Babylon Bee was poking fun at the trust fund baby, Dan Cathy, over at Chick-fil-A for the comments he made on Black Lives Matter. And the fact that he shined the rapper Lacrae's shoes. Here's a little bit from the satire. Dining rooms will be rearranged to provide a separate place of honor for minorities. They will also be provided with separate bathrooms and drinking fountains. It's Chick-fil-A's new separate and more equal policy. That's funny. And it's a rather cutting. Because it provides a direct reference to the separate bathrooms and the separate drinking fountains that at one time brought us all together to understand that that was wrong. The Babylon Bee goes on, Chick-fil-A will always be a kind and welcoming place for the blacks, the Chinamen, and those people who wear that red dot on their foreheads. Just please don't steal the sauces. Oh, actually, if you want to steal the sauces, that's okay too. So after a barrage of angry tweets for in social media from prominent-ish evangelicals, the Babylon Bee CEO Seth Dillon said he declared that no apology will be forthcoming. And he did not even acknowledge the tweet storm against him. Just he didn't acknowledge it. Why? Because who cares? Who cares if a bunch of overly sensitive communists and Chinese bots get mad at you on Twitter? Who could possibly care about that? How could you possibly allow that to rule your life? Well, the Babylon Bee, it has more guts than PepsiCo. PepsiCo's worth $1 trillion. The Babylon Bee guy, he probably got $50,000 in the bank. Yet he's willing to stand up to the tweet storm, and PepsiCo folds like a cheap suitcase. All right, we go on now into the widespread panic file, folks. The Philadelphia Phillies Baseball Club are dealing with a coronavirus outbreak at spring training. So, and that's right, the Blue Jays have also shut down their facility after a player showed symptoms of COVID-19. It was terrifying. The Phillies outbreak so far includes 5 players and 3 staff who have tested positive for the virus. None of the people who tested positive needed to be hospitalized. But it is obviously concerning, says the New York Post. And I say to the New York Post, why is it obviously concerning that people continue to catch a virus that we cannot stop? Why is that obviously concerning? Because you want us to be obviously concerned. I'm sorry, I should say it's obvious you want us to remain concerned. And it's obvious that enough of us are obviously still concerned because we're not able to think. One person who knows some of the Phillies personnel who came down with the virus told NBC Sports, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but this is real and it spreads quickly and easily and people need to know. People need to know. Tell the people, he said before he died. No, he didn't die. This is we don't even know who this person is that NBC Sports made up. I don't want to scare anyone, but be scared. This is scary. I don't want to scare you, but you should be scared. It's just shocking. It's the big flinch, and it continues. And if we don't stop it, I'm telling you, folks. I mean, here, the war file. Authorities in Borno State, Nigeria, said Wednesday at least 81 people were slaughtered in an attack on a community by Boko Haram, Islamic terrorists. The forces of darkness have their boots on, and they're marching. They recognize what just happened. They recognize what's happening. And then for all of you who are predicting the V-shaped, I don't want to depress you people. This is one of the reasons I'm depressed, okay? And so I'm not, by the way, folks, I'm not obsessed with being happy all the time. Sometimes I'm depressed. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm all of those things within the space of 5 minutes. That's called normal. Here we've got a report from themostimportantnews.com. They report that now that states have been reopening their economies, we were told things would soon be getting back to normal and that the economic numbers would rebound dramatically. The economy was supposed to come roaring back to life. But the truth is, more bad economic news is hitting us on a continual basis. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that payments have already been skipped on more than 100 million loans. There is a tremendous amount of pain ahead for the financial institutions that are holding these loans. And for those of you out there who say, well, that's those banksters. They deserve it. They can afford it. Well, just get ready, folks, because the banksters are us, okay? We all have our money in the banks. And you might think that we can afford this. We can't afford this. In fact, to my good friend who said, why did we decide to do a lockdown when we heard there was a pandemic coming? He said, why did we do it? Because we could. Well, guess what? No, we couldn't. We thought we could. Turns out we couldn't. Turns out we shouldn't. And now it's too late. The reality, according to the mostimportantnews.com, is that the fear of COVID-19 is going to keep a large segment of the population from resuming normal economic activities for the foreseeable future. And folks, that is absolutely true. They go on to say it certainly doesn't help that the media has been endlessly warning us about the second wave and telling us to be scared and to live in fear. In fact, we now are seeing enough data around the restaurant industry specifically. The restaurant industry started to see a small bit of improvement, but now fear of a second wave has caused restaurant traffic to start cratering again. No. Business travel is another area where we are seeing signs of big trouble ahead. Business travel is not coming back anytime soon. And this affects airlines, airport vendors, hotels, restaurants, convention centers. Folks, the whole economy is paralyzed in this big flinch. Anyway, business travel and restaurants are not expecting much, if any, improvement throughout the summer. And by the end of the summer, the communists will have taken us down if we don't stop this, folks. Meanwhile, from the death penalty file, and this is an unusual story from the death penalty file, this spring, this is from the New York Times, this spring after the World Health Organization and UNICEF warned that the pandemic could spread swiftly when children gathered for shots, many countries suspended their inoculation programs. Even in countries that tried to keep them going, cargo flights with vaccine supplies were halted by the pandemic. No, they were halted by the lockdowns. They were halted by the lockdowns of the airlines, the lockdowns of the healthcare workers who were going to deliver this vital aid. This vital medical care it wasn't the pandemic that stopped it. It was the big flinch. So stop blaming the pandemic. It was all of you extraordinarily selfish wussies who flinched. Now diphtheria is appearing in Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Nepal. Cholera in South Sudan, Cameroon, Mozambique, Yemen, and Bangladesh. A mutated strain of polio virus has reported now in more than 30 countries, and measles is flaring up again around the globe, especially in the third world. 178 million people are at risk of missing their measles shots in 2020. How many deaths does that calculate? A lot. The risk now is an epidemic in a few months' time that will kill more children than COVID-19. So the big flinch is going to kill more people than the virus that we're all supposed to be continuing to be afraid of. But we go from there to the rarely seen Courage File. June 4th marks the 31st anniversary of the Communist Party's massacre of pro-democracy students in Tiananmen Square. I was on the phone with a 30-something colleague of mine, and I mentioned the fact that it was the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, and my colleague didn't know what that was. This is a college-educated adult, did not know what the Tiananmen Square massacre was. I'll Google that and check it out. On the 31st anniversary, an exiled Chinese tycoon and Steve Bannon announced on his podcast the establishment of the federal state of New China. Bannon read out the English Declaration while a Chinese soccer star read out the Chinese Declaration of Independence from the Chinese Communist Party. A noteworthy event. Anyway, Hao Haidong, who is a very famous Chinese soccer star, retired, said, quote, "The elimination of the Chinese Communist Party is necessary for justice. The Chinese Communist Party is a terrorist organization that has subverted the legitimate Chinese government. The elimination of the Chinese Communist Party is essential in breaking the shackles of slavery imposed on the Chinese people." Zhanping Lai, a political expert from China University of Political Science and Law, expressed support for soccer star. What's his name here? I'm really bad about this. Hao Haidong. Lai said, "There are very few people in China who don't know a sports star like Hao Haidong. He has always had an image of someone who loves the party. Now he has openly spoken against the Chinese Communist Party and its authoritarian regime. This means that a general trend of rebellion among the people has developed and that this man is quite courageous." Anyway, I have no idea. I've not heard of this guy. I've heard of Steve Bannon. I know that he's a godless, I don't know what he is. But if the Chinese people are going to hitch their star to Steve Bannon and not God, I don't have a whole lot of hope for the federal state of New China. It's already too many words. It should just be China, for crying out loud. Meanwhile, I'm going over on time. I can't help it, folks. I got to get this out of my system, or I tell you, I'm going to go insane. I can barely go out in public anymore without, I want to stop and jump up on a table and just start screaming at people to just snap out of it. I mean, seriously, I feel like a character in a George Orwell novel, the last sane person left, along with my extremely attractive audio engineer. But from the old normal file, that's right, the old normal, Romanian lawmakers have passed an amendment to an education law banning educational institution from, quote, "activities propagating theories and opinions on gender identity, according to which gender is a separate concept from biological sex." So the Romanians have pushed back against Neil Gorsuch and his opinion that sex is whatever you want it to be. The Romanians, that's right. Anyway, this amendment banning basically gender identity has elicited widespread condemnation. Some professors are openly intending to defy the law. Okay, who cares? We'll arrest you and lock you up for being a deviant sexual criminal, which is what you are. There's been widespread condemnation on social media, and the Romanians don't care. They just don't care about the tweet storm. The National File goes on to remind us that in 2018, Hungary banned gender studies, Poland has banned forms of sex education which have been compared by the Polish officials to pedophilia. Uh-huh. How about that? This is the old normal. Go ahead and tweet storm against it. See if I care. You come into my country, try to teach my kids about gender studies, I'll lock you up. Anyway, according to homo activists, the purpose of the legislation in Romania is to, like, criminalize the promotion of underage sexual activity, suggesting that sexual education teachers actually groom and familiarize children with homosexuality. Where would you ever get that idea? So the Romanians, the Polish, there's something in the water in Eastern Europe. They still remain, they still have testicles, a few. And they're actually standing up to the homosexuals who want to groom and familiarize their children with homosexuality. Thank God. Thank heaven. Meanwhile, from the mask on, mask off file, Delta, American, KLM, and EasyJet are they're banning alcoholic drinks from purchase on the plane to minimize passengers' bathroom trips and time spent with their face masks off. Does anybody catch that? Time spent with your face mask off means you might as well not wear a face mask, but that doesn't matter. We're all just going to mindlessly fall through time and space together with our mask on. Oh, and off sometimes. We take off our mask to drink, take off our mask to eat, but otherwise wear the mask. Why? Because we're dumb. We're just going to be dumb. Most airlines, by the way, most airlines require I can't even say it. It's making me insane. Most airlines require mask use for the full duration of flights, except. See, once you say the word except, you've lost the moral authority to tell me I have to wear a mask. Well, we can't expect you to wear them while you eat and drink. Okay, then why do you expect me to wear them at all? Because Donald Trump doesn't wear one. That's why. Oh, I forgot. That's right. We're supposed to base our life on what Donald Trump does or doesn't do or what the tweet storm against or for him is all about. That's, and anyway, I will end the show now because I am starting to, I'm starting to lose my mind. I will report that the black fellow who was found hanging in Victorville, California, who it was fairly obvious to all of us that white supremacists and skinheads had obviously lynched him. That's what the tweet storm said. That's what was all over social media. Well, it turns out that 38-year-old homeless derelict Malcolm Harsh had been on suicide watch on two of his recent bookings into the San Bernardino County Jail. And now it turns out that Harsh and his girlfriend broke up amid a mutual allegations of infidelity in their homeless encampment. And now a surveillance camera videotape has surfaced showing Harsh throwing donuts at his girlfriend's tent. And then minutes later, with the woman still in her tent and another transient apparently watching, Harsh hanged himself and was pronounced dead at the scene. It was a suicide. It was not a lynching. So we're not able to burn anything down at the moment over this, but don't worry. There was another hanging that we haven't solved yet that we're hoping to pin to the white nationalists, Nazis, and skinheads who apparently run America behind the scenes. That's it. I want to do this about the... okay, I'll do it. The Great Society, folks. This is from WorldNet Daily. The author says, the Great Society initiatives were harmful to all, but no group was harmed more than black folks. Lyndon Johnson's not-so-veiled government dependency agenda cemented the decline of American civilization specifically for blacks, specifically for the black nuclear family. Within the Great Society construct came the abolishment of the nuclear... Did I say nuclear? Nuclear? I'm sorry. The abolishment of the nuclear family and the accommodation of sexual sin, which now includes debaucherous sexual deviancy masquerading now as a family unit. The Great Society Initiative resulted in the destruction of married two-parent homes amongst black families. And that's why we have a generation who hate their fathers with some just cause, and who hate their government. They hate the authority of their government with some just cause. Their government initiated a schema by which their world has been destroyed. Their families have been destroyed. Their lives have been destroyed. Their masculinity has been destroyed. Their femininity has been destroyed. Their hopes and dreams have been crushed by white liberals who one might think of as white supremacists, because they certainly have succeeded in destroying the success of the black community. The soul of the black community has been destroyed. And now they're on to destroying the soul of anyone who respects God or liberty or the free market. They're coming for us now. They've finished with the black folks. Now they're coming for just anyone who worships God. So snap out of it and wake up. That's it, folks. That's the show. I want to thank my friends at realscienceradio.com, at American Right to Life, and, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.